Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we peel back the layers on the companies quietly building and holding together our modern world.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Think about it for a moment. The incredible structures you navigate daily, the vehicles that move us, the hidden networks beneath our cities. What are the unsung heroes making all of that possible, protecting it, and pushing it towards a more sustainable future, often from behind the scenes?
It's truly remarkable. I mean, so many essential components of our built environment, the very fabric of our modern lives, they're made possible by companies whose names you just don't hear in everyday conversation.
Right.
Yet their impact is immense. It's pervasive.
Absolutely. And today we're shining a spotlight on one of those quintessential hidden champions, Sika AG, trading under the ticker Sika SW.
Ah, Sika, a great example.
And this isn't merely a deep dive into specialty chemicals. It's really an exploration of the fundamental science and engineering that underpins construction and advanced manufacturing. I mean, literally shapes the world around us.
For this deep dive, we've meticulously gathered a whole stack of sources, everything from, you know, in-depth investment analysis, detailed company reports, to broader industry insights and strategic briefings.
Yeah, we've got a good pile here.
Our mission, as always, is to extract the most crucial nuggets of knowledge and truly impactful insights, specifically for you, our informed listener, who wants to understand these foundational players.
Why should you, someone who meticulously follows global market dynamics and the companies quietly shaping our future, care about a company like Sika?
It's a fair question.
Because their story isn't just about chemicals. It's a masterclass in how an industrial player can build formidable competitive moats, strategically navigate global macro shifts, and thrive for decades by relentlessly innovating in areas few people ever see.
Areas that are absolutely critical, though.
Exactly. Critical to our built world. We're going to uncover what Sika does, how it leverages its strengths in complex global markets, dissect its financial performance, explore its ambitious strategy for the future, and examine the challenges it expertly navigates.
Get ready for some surprising facts, I think. Some genuine aha moments, because we're about to dive deep.
So let's really unpack Sika's core identity. At its heart, Sika AG is a globally integrated specialty chemicals company.
Right.
Now, when we say specialty chemicals, what we mean is they're not producing bulk, undifferentiated commodities, like basic stuff.
No, definitely not. Instead, they're laser-focused on developing and manufacturing highly specialized systems and products designed for five critical areas. Bonding.
Sticking things together.
Yep. Sealing. Keeping things out or in.
Okay.
Damping. Making things quieter.
Important.
Reinforcing.
Yeah.
Making things stronger. And protecting. Making them last longer. It's like they've cornered the market on making things, well, better.
That's precisely it. And their focus isn't random. Their primary markets are the absolutely foundational building sector and the increasingly sophisticated motor vehicle industry.
Two massive global industries.
Huge. What's crucial for you to grasp about Sika is their profound value proposition. They're delivering technologically advanced, high-value chemical solutions.
These aren't just generic products off the shelf.
No. They're specifically engineered to significantly enhance the quality, the durability, and increasingly the sustainability of their customers' projects and products.
Think of it less as selling a chemical and more as selling, you know, extended lifespan, improved performance, and reduced environmental impact for critical assets. That's the real value.
That makes perfect sense. Sika is essentially the master of making things stick together, last longer, and perform better, often in ways that are completely invisible to us.
Totally hidden.
It's the hidden strength in our everyday lives. From the structural integrity of a skyscraper to the quiet efficiency of your car, Sika's touch is probably there somewhere.
Very likely.
And their entire business architecture is built upon two incredibly powerful pillars, their construction solutions and their industry solutions.
Okay, let's break those down.
Let's start with construction solutions, which, by volume, represents the larger of these two segments.
Right. And within construction solutions, Sika offers an extraordinarily comprehensive portfolio. I mean, this isn't just a handful of products. We're talking about everything from concrete admixtures.
Those chemicals you add to concrete.
Exactly. Those crucial chemicals added to concrete to modify its properties, perhaps making it stronger, more workable, or faster setting. Then there are advanced waterproofing systems, robust roofing materials, high-performance flooring, and a vast array of sealing and bonding products.
Covers a lot of ground.
And they also provide a full suite of materials specifically for the refurbishment and repair of existing structures. That's a really key point.
We'll come back to that. But the scale,
yeah,
the scale of their impact here is quite frankly staggering.
It really is. Consider this. Their concrete admixtures alone are responsible for saving over 6 billion liters of water annually in production. That's huge.
Wow.
And to put that into perspective, the company also supplies enough roofing membranes each year to cover the entire land area of Manhattan.
The whole of Manhattan. That's incredible.
It paints a vivid picture of their immense reach in construction.
That's an impressive scale, making a real difference in how we build. But here's where it gets really interesting. And it's an often underappreciated aspect that speaks volumes about Sika's resilience.
Uh-huh.
A critical component of their construction business is its significant exposure to the refurbishment market. We're talking about roughly 55% of their construction-related sales coming from maintenance, repair, and renovation.
That refurbishment exposure is, in my view, absolutely crucial for their stability, and it's a powerful insight for anyone looking at this company.
Why is that so important?
Well, why? Because essential maintenance and repair work on existing infrastructure, whether it's a bridge, a commercial building, or residential property, often cannot be postponed, even when economic conditions are tough.
Right. You have to fix a leaky roof, regardless of the economy.
Exactly. These assets need to be kept functional, safe, and up to code, regardless of the economic climate. Think of it as the unsexy, yet highly reliable backbone of their construction business.
Okay.
It provides a foundational level of demand that acts as a significant buffer, mitigating the inherent cyclicality you would typically expect in new build projects.
So it smooths out the bumps.
It offers a defensive quality, yeah, allowing them to weather downturns better than peers heavily reliant on new construction.
That completely shifts how I'm thinking about their revenue streams. It's a built-in demand generator.
Okay, so we've covered the buildings and infrastructure side.
Yep.
But Sika also plays this huge role in industry solutions, things like automotive, transportation, and marine. How does their value proposition, what they offer customers, shift when they're supplying something like an automotive OEM versus a construction site?
That's a fantastic question, because in industry solutions, the core principle of delivering better performance remains central, but the application and the specific value proposition are finely tuned for advanced manufacturing. Different needs, different solutions.
Totally. Here, Sika's focus is all about facilitating the production of lighter, stronger, safer, and, interestingly, quieter vehicles and industrial goods. Their technology is absolutely integral to modern manufacturing processes, especially as industries push for greater efficiency and sustainability.
And the scale here is also pretty amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. To give you a sense of their reach, over 50% of all vehicles produced globally each year incorporate Sika products.
Over half the cars made worldwide.
Wow, that's a staggering footprint. It means if you've been in a car lately, chances are you've experienced Sika's technology probably without even knowing it.
That's truly incredible. Imagine how Sika's lightweight adhesives can help shave off crucial kilograms from a car's weight, directly improving fuel efficiency or extending the range of an electric vehicle.
Absolutely critical for EVs.
Or how its sound damping materials can make your ride quieter, transforming the entire driving experience into something more premium. It's not about supplying a single part. It's about optimizing the whole system for peak performance and customer comfort.
It really is, and it brings us to another cornerstone of their operational success. The way they manage their global operations is equally strategic, built on a highly decentralized model that they've coined local for local.
Well, local for local, what does that mean in practice?
Well, Sika maintains a vast global presence, operating in 102 countries with over 400 factories worldwide.
400 factories, that's a lot.
It is, and this means their products are manufactured in incredibly close proximity to the customers they serve.
So what does this local for local philosophy truly mean for their strategic advantage, especially in today's complex world, with all the geopolitical tensions, trade issues?
Yeah, in an era characterized by increasing geopolitical tensions, trade protectionism, and unpredictable supply chain disruptions, Sika's ability to produce locally provides a formidable strategic advantage.
Like a buffer against global shocks.
Precisely. For example, nearly 100% of all products sold in the USA are manufactured right there within the country.
That's impressive.
Exactly. This strategy effectively insulates them from many of the tariffs, the logistical bottlenecks, and the cross-border supply chain disruptions that could severely cripple more centralized competitors. It's a key ingredient in their operational resilience, building a durable competitive moat in what can be a very uncertain global trade environment. It guarantees continuity of supply, allows for rapid responsiveness to local market needs and regulations, and crucially, it builds stronger relationships with local customers.
Makes sense.
It's a textbook example of thinking globally but acting decisively locally.
And their geographical sales distribution for fiscal year 2024 truly underscores this blend of global reach and local strength. We saw CHF $5.09 billion generated from EMEA.
Europe, Middle East, Africa.
Right. CHF $4.10 billion from the Americas.
North and South.
And CHF $2.57 billion from Asia Pacific. This isn't just diversified revenue. It's a testament to a balanced portfolio across mature and emerging markets, each served by a localized and robust supply chain.
A really well-balanced global footprint.
Let's zoom out a bit now and examine the broader industry landscape in which Sika operates. The global construction chemicals market is undeniably dynamic, fundamentally tied as it is to global construction activity and crucial infrastructure development.
Yeah, it's a huge market, and it's a market brimming with growth potential, but one also subject to a significant degree of uncertainty. When you look at estimates for the market's compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, through the next decade.
The growth rate, that's interesting.
Right, the average annual growth. The projections vary quite widely from a conservative, say, 3.53% to a more optimistic 8.40%.
That's a pretty big range. What does that tell us?
This wide range isn't just an academic number. It's a critical insight. It tells us that the overall market is complex, highly sensitive to regional and segment-specific fluctuations, and not simply a rising tide lifting all boats.
So you can't just rely on the market growing overall.
Exactly. This means a company's ability to adeptly execute its specific strategy, innovate, and aggressively gain market share is often far more critical to its success than the headline market growth rate alone. It underscores Sika's need for superior strategy and execution.
That's a crucial distinction. It's about how well you're paddling, not just the size of the wave.
Well put.
And there are some really robust long-term trends driving this market forward, what we refer to as secular growth drivers.
These are the big underlying forces.
Yeah. We're talking about phenomena like rapid urbanization, particularly pronounced in the Asia Pacific region, which demands new housing, commercial spaces, and infrastructure at an unprecedented pace.
Absolutely. We're also seeing significant government-led infrastructure development initiatives globally, which provide incredibly stable long-term demand.
Big government projects.
Yeah, like India's ambitious planned USD $1.4 trillion national infrastructure pipeline. These multi-year public investments in roads, bridges, ports, and utilities create a continuous need for advanced construction materials.
Okay.
Furthermore, rising disposable incomes in emerging economies are directly fueling new construction and extensive renovation projects. People have more money, they build more, fix more.
Makes sense.
And of course, continuous technological advancements in building materials themselves mean there's always a need for Sika's innovative solutions that meet new standards and performance requirements.
Now, despite those powerful long-term tailwinds, we can't ignore the inherent cyclicality of both the construction and automotive industries. They are, by their very nature, sensitive to broader macroeconomic factors like GDP growth, interest rates, consumer confidence.
They definitely go up and down with the economy.
So how did Sika navigate, for example, the European market in 2024, given those forces? That was a tricky year.
That's a great question. And here's where it becomes fascinating to see how Sika's broad portfolio and diversified end market exposure truly allow it to pivot and adapt to these cycles.
Their flexibility.
Exactly. In 2024, the overall European construction sector contracted by 2.0%. This was largely driven by a sharp 7.7% decline in new house building.
Ouch.
Which was a direct consequence of rapidly rising interest rates and tightening credit conditions, particularly impacting markets like Germany, France, and Sweden. Imagine trying to get a mortgage or finance a new development in that environment.
Yeah, tough times for new builds. That's a pretty significant slowdown in new residential construction, something that would normally hit a construction materials company quite hard.
It would, and it did for many. But this weakness was partially offset by a notable divergence. Civil engineering, which includes large public infrastructure projects, actually expanded by a healthy 5.9% in 2024.
So infrastructure held up.
It did. This growth was supported by ongoing public investments, particularly in green infrastructure projects aimed at sustainability and resilience. CECA's 2024 results specifically highlighted that increased infrastructure investments in the EMEA region helped to counterbalance the weakness observed elsewhere.
So they leaned into that strength.
Precisely. This powerfully illustrates the benefit of their diversification within a highly cyclical industry. They can effectively lean into the stronger segments when others are struggling, maintaining overall stability.
That's a smart strategy for navigating choppy waters.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the industry, it's also undergoing a major irreversible transformation, a significant consolidation wave, and perhaps even more powerfully, a pervasive sustainability imperative.
Absolutely. The construction chemicals industry has historically been quite fragmented, lots of smaller players, but it's actively consolidating, and CECA is undeniably a key driver of that trend.
They're one of the big consolidators.
Definitely. Their transformative acquisition of the MBCC Group, formerly BASF Construction Chemicals, is a prime example of this strategy in action. This single move significantly expanded their global footprint, product portfolio, and market share overnight.
A game changer for them.
Absolutely. This push for consolidation underscores the immense importance of scale in this sector, as larger players like CECA can leverage superior R&D capabilities, more efficient procurement power, and extensive globally integrated distribution networks that smaller regional firms simply can't match.
Scale equals advantage.
Scale translates directly to competitive advantage here.
And intimately tied into this consolidation is the growing emphasis on sustainability and green building standards. It's become more than just a trend. It's rapidly evolving into a non-negotiable requirement across the globe.
Without a doubt. Stricter government regulations, think about updated building codes for energy efficiency, coupled with increasing customer demand for environmentally responsible solutions, are pushing the entire industry towards products that enhance energy efficiency, dramatically reduce carbon footprints, and incorporate recycled materials.
So customers and governments are both demanding it.
Yes. And this fundamental shift in buying criteria, moving from a purely cost-based decision to one that heavily includes life cycle performance and environmental impact, plays directly to CECA's most profound strengths.
How so?
Well, the strategic focus on durability and circularity positions them perfectly to capture this evolving demand, making them a preferred partner for green projects. It's not just about selling a chemical product, it's about selling a sustainable future. And that resonates deeply with the market's direction and future trajectory.
So CECA clearly operates in this incredibly dynamic market, influenced by cycles and megatrends. But what makes them truly stand out, allowing them to not just survive, but thrive?
It's their competitive advantages, their moats.
Right. They command a leading position in the global specialty chemicals market, holding an estimated 11% share of a highly fragmented CHF, 110 billion total addressable market.
110 billion Swiss francs. That's a massive market.
It is. And to me, that 11% share indicates a really long runway for continued growth, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That 11% is a powerful insight.
Yeah.
In a market this large and fragmented, achieving leadership with just over a tenth of the share means CECA isn't competing in a saturated space. They're actively consolidating and growing into a vast opportunity.
Plenty more to capture.
Exactly. The competitive landscape itself is quite diverse, including large public chemical companies like Arkema, through its Bostik unit, Henkel, H.B. Fuller, Saint-Gobain, and PPG Industries.
Big names there.
Yeah. But there are also formidable private firms, such as the Italian company Mapei, that are significant regional and global players.
So it's not like they don't have competition.
Oh, no, definitely not. Despite this robust competition, CECA has meticulously built what we often refer to as moats, durable competitive advantages that consistently protect its business and ensure its long-term profitability.
And they have several, starting with what feels like a foundational one. Technological leadership, and relentless investment in R&D.
Innovation truly is woven into their DNA. CECA employs a massive team of 1,840 people dedicated to R&D.
That's a huge R&D team.
It is. And in 2024 alone, they filed for 125 new patents, demonstrating a continuous output of new solutions.
Wow.
This consistent and heavy investment has resulted in an expansive portfolio of over 1,600 distinct patent families.
Over 1,600 patents.
Yeah. This technological edge isn't just about cool new products. It's what allows CECA to develop high-performance, differentiated solutions, command premium pricing, and effectively address the most complex and evolving customer challenges, keeping them not just ahead of the curve, but often defining it.
So they've got the cutting-edge tech, and they've got the unparalleled global reach, essentially baking in resilience and efficiency. That's a powerful combination.
It really is.
But how do you go from simply having great products to being genuinely indispensable to customers,
Yeah.
especially when you're selling chemicals?
That brings us to perhaps their most enduring advantage, something beyond just the product itself. A brand reputation so strong, it actually dictates what gets built.
How does that work?
Well, with over a century of history, the Sika brand is synonymous with unwavering quality, reliability, and technical expertise. This legacy has built immense trust.
This is a really powerful moat. It's not just about a customer choosing Sika. It's often a requirement, isn't it?
Precisely. Many of their products aren't simply purchased off a shelf or chosen from a catalog. They are specified into project blueprints by architects, structural engineers, and consultants at the earliest design stages.
Specified right into the plans.
Exactly. This means that once a Sika waterproofing system or a particular concrete admixture is specified for a major project, contractors are often required to use Sika products.
They have no choice,
Or
basically.
at least switching is very difficult and risky. This creates an incredibly sticky customer base and significantly insulates the company from purely price-based competition. It's an enviable position to be, and demand is built into the project itself.
And all of the innovation, the scale, the brand recognition, the specification, it all converges into what sounds like significant pricing power.
Oh, absolutely.
They've consistently demonstrated an ability to manage margins effectively, even during times of highly volatile input costs.
That's absolutely correct. During the inflationary period of 2023-2024, when many companies struggled with rising raw material costs, Sika's material margin actually expanded significantly from 49.4% in 2022 to a very healthy 54.5% in 2024.
They actually increased margins during inflation.
They did. This ability to not only pass through increased costs, but also to expand margins during such periods is a clear and compelling indicator of robust pricing power, derived directly from the value-added nature of their products and services.
It shows they're not just selling a commodity.
Exactly. They're not just a commodity supplier, they're a solutions provider, and customers are willing to pay for that reliability and performance.
But the deepest moat, the one that truly stands out is almost impossible for competitors to replicate, is Sika's integrated systems selling approach.
Yes, this is key.
This isn't just about selling a single tube of sealant or a bucket of admixture. It's something far more comprehensive.
You've hit on the essence of it. If we connect this to the bigger picture, by providing the entire system a combination of multiple precisely engineered products designed to work in perfect harmony, Sika positions itself not just as a supplier, but as a crucial technical consultant.
More like a partner.
Exactly. They guarantee compatibility, performance, and the overall integrity across all components of a complex solution. Let's consider a concrete example. A complete waterproofing system for a large basement or tunnel.
Okay.
That might involve specialized concrete admixtures to make the concrete itself impermeable, alongside joint sealing water bars, injection resins for cracks, and a final durable membrane layer.
Multiple products working together.
Right. Sika isn't just selling you each of those individual items. They're selling the entire tested and guaranteed solution.
The guarantee is important.
Crucial. This creates significantly higher switching costs for customers because they are far less likely to substitute one component with a cheaper alternative from a competitor if it risks compromising the integrity, the warranty, or the performance of the entire Sika guaranteed system.
You don't want to risk the whole system failing.
Nobody does.
Thank you.
This strategy fosters incredibly deep, long-term customer relationships built on trust, technical expertise, and a shared commitment to project success. This system selling approach is a moat that is far more difficult to replicate than any single product technology because it requires decades of accumulated expertise, a broad product portfolio, and a reputation for reliable integration.
What stands out to you about how much value this adds beyond just the product itself?
For me, it's the risk reduction for the customer. Buying the system means Sika takes responsibility for making it all work together. That peace of mind is worth the premium.
Yeah, what stands out to me is how it shifts the relationship from transactional to truly partnership-driven. They become an indispensable partner, and that level of embeddedness makes them incredibly powerful. It's not just about selling a product, it's selling peace of mind and guaranteed performance for critical infrastructure.
Well said.
Let's pull back the curtain on Sika's financials because the numbers really do tell a story of remarkable resilience and consistent growth.
Yeah, the track record is pretty impressive.
From 2020 to 2024, they've demonstrated a robust track record of profitable expansion, navigating significant challenges with strong top-line growth, resilient profitability, and excellent cash flow generation.
Their net sales progression is a very clear indicator of the sustained upward trajectory. They grew from, what, CHF, $7,877.5 million in 2020.
Roughly 7.9 billion Swiss francs.
Right. To an impressive CHF, $11,763.1 million in 2024. So nearly 11.8 billion.
That's substantial growth.
It is. In 2024 alone, year-on-year sales growth was 4.7%. But here's the crucial insight. This seemingly modest headline growth masks Sika's true strategic prowess.
Okay, how so?
Well, while organic growth, which comes from existing operations, was a more modest 1.1%.
So core business grew just over 1%.
Yeah, in that year. But the bulk of that overall 4.7% growth was driven by the successful consolidation of the massive MBCC acquisition.
Ah, the big acquisition effect.
Exactly. This isn't just M&A for M&A's sake. It's a deliberate, well-executed strategy to consolidate a fragmented market, instantly vaulting Sika into new competitive leagues and demonstrating their ability to acquire and effectively integrate market share even when organic tailwinds are weaker.
So they can grow organically and through acquisition.
It tells you Sika's growth engine has two powerful, distinct cylinders, and they know exactly how to fire them both.
So it's a story of growth, but also smart, strategic growth. And their profitability trends tell an equally compelling story of resilience and recovery, especially when you look at their gross margins.
They absolutely do. Their gross margin initially experienced compression, dropping to 49.4% in 2022 amidst the peak of global raw material inflation, a challenge that plagued countless industries.
Yeah, 2022 was tough for costs.
Very tough. However, Sika demonstrated remarkable agility and pricing power, leading to a sharp recovery to 53.6% in 2023.
A nice bounce back.
And then climbing further to 54.5% in 2024.
Even better.
This impressive recovery unequivocally showcases their effective pricing strategies, their ability to pass through costs, and rigorous cost control across their operations.
Good manager.
Definitely. This operational leverage then translated directly into record profitability, with their EBITDA margin reaching an impressive 19.3% in 2024.
Almost 20% EBITDA margin.
Yeah, for a company of this scale in this industry, that's a very healthy and robust margin performance.
And what about their cash flow? That's always a critical indicator of a company's financial health and its ability to fund future growth without relying too heavily on external financing.
Cash generation is truly a standout characteristic of Sika's financial profile, and it's a key reason they're so admired. They consistently generate operating free cash flow, or OFCF.
Money left over after running the business.
Pretty much. Consistently generates OFCF well above their strategic target of 10% of net sales. In 2023, OFCF reached a record CHF 1,441.5 million, which represented an exceptional 12.8% of sales.
That's very strong cash conversion.
Remarkable performance. It was driven by a combination of higher profitability and incredibly disciplined working capital management.
Managing their inventory and receivables well.
Exactly. The implication of this robust cash conversion is incredibly significant. It allows the company to largely self-fund its aggressive acquisition strategy and systematically reduce debt following large transactions, which is the hallmark of strong financial discipline and a healthy balance sheet.
Case for the M&A and pays down debt.
Smart.
Very smart. Now, let's talk about something that might, at first glance, look concerning on paper, but requires a much deeper explanation. Their return on capital employed, or ROCE.
Ah, yes, ROCE.
Their reported ROCE declined from 21.6% in 2022 to 14.2% in 2024. This immediately raises an important question. Is this a sign of deteriorating performance, or is there more to the story?
It's an absolutely crucial point, and the answer is not necessarily a sign of deteriorating operational performance.
Okay, explain that.
This decline in reported ROCE is largely an accounting consequence of the massive amount of goodwill added to the balance sheet from the MBCC acquisition.
Goodwill. That's the intangible stuff you buy in an acquisition.
Essentially, yeah. It's the premium paid over the fair value of a company's identifiable assets when it's acquired, representing things like brand value, customer relationships, and expected synergies.
Right.
This goodwill significantly inflates the capital employed denominator in the ROCE calculation, making the overall ratio appear lower even if the underlying profitability of the acquired assets is strong.
So the math makes it look worse temporarily.
Precisely. Sika is quite transparent about this, providing an adjusted ROCE figure, which intelligently excludes the immediate distorting impact of major acquisitions like MBCC.
And what was that adjusted figure?
That adjusted ROCE stood at a very healthy 22.1% in 2024.
Okay, that's much better. Back above 20%.
Right. This transparent disclosure itself is a positive governance signal, indicating management's clear focus on the underlying capital efficiency of the core business, beyond the temporary accounting impacts of large-scale M&A.
Good on them for showing both numbers.
It is. But here's why you, as an informed learner, should pay close attention to this accounting nuance. It means a temporary dip in reported ROCE doesn't necessarily signal operational inefficiency. Instead, it's a byproduct of an aggressive growth by acquisition strategy.
It's part of the M&A process.
Exactly. The real question for an investor is whether the future earnings and synergies from MBCC will eventually make that goodwill a profitable investment, driving the reported ROCE back up and proving the acquisition was truly value creative in the long run. This distinction is vital for understanding how high-growth companies finance and validate their M&A endeavors.
So it's about looking beyond the headline numbers and understanding the strategic context.
Precisely. And finally, a quick but important look at their balance sheet, particularly in the aftermath of a major debt finance acquisition.
All right, they took on debt for MBCC. How's it looking?
Following the debt-financed acquisition of MBCC, Sika has been remarkably successful in utilizing its strong operating free cash flow to systematically delever its balance sheet.
Using that cash flow we talked about.
Exactly. This disciplined approach is clearly visible in the improvement of their equity ratio.
The proportion of the company owned by shareholders versus funded by debt.
Correct. That equity ratio strengthened from 39.4% at year-end 2023 to a more robust 44.1% at year-end 2024.
That's a solid improvement in just 1 year.
It is. This significant improvement in their equity ratio signals a strengthening financial position, which is absolutely crucial for maintaining flexibility for continued strategic maneuvers and future growth initiatives without undue financial strain. It demonstrates a commitment to financial health alongside growth.
Looking ahead, Sika isn't just resting on its laurels. They've laid out an incredibly ambitious and clear plan called Strategy 2028, Beyond the Expected.
Yeah, they're definitely looking forward.
It's a comprehensive framework designed to not only leverage their core strengths, but also to strategically capitalize on the biggest global megatrends shaping our future.
And their confidence is palpable. Management has signaled strong belief in their direction and their ability to execute by raising their long-term targets. They're now aiming for an impressive 6-9% annual sales growth in local currencies.
That's strong growth.
And an EBITDA margin of 20-23%.
Pushing that profitability even higher.
Exactly. These are ambitious targets, no doubt, but they also reflect Sika's historical track record of consistent execution and their unique positioning in the market. It shows they're not just hoping for growth, but actively planning for it.
And a core pillar of this strategy, as we've already discussed, is undoubtedly acquisition-led growth.
M&A is central to Sika.
Sika has a long and highly successful history as a disciplined consolidator in a fragmented industry, and the MBCC Group acquisition is by far the largest in its history.
What's particularly encouraging for shareholders and observers alike is that the integration of MBCC is progressing not just on schedule, but actually ahead of schedule.
That's great news for such a big deal.
It really is. Management has even raised their expected synergy targets. The 2025 synergy target increased by CHF 20 million to CHF 160, 180 million.
More cost savings and revenue benefits than expected.
Yep. And the 2026 target is now CHF 220 million.
Wow.
This successful execution on such a large-scale, complex integration is a powerful testament to Sika's M&A capabilities. They don't just buy, they successfully integrate and extract value, and it's a very positive indicator for future value creation.
Shows they know what they're doing with acquisition.
It does. This also ties into their strategic shift in profitability targets. The move from an EBIT margin under the previous strategy to an EBITDA margin for Strategy 2028 is a pragmatic and astute response to the MBCC acquisition.
Why the shift from EBIT to EBITDA?
Well, large acquisitions often bring with them significant intangible assets, leading to substantial non-cash amortization expenses that depress EBIT, but do not impact EBITDA.
Ah, that accounting effect again.
Right. By focusing on EBITDA, management effectively emphasizes the underlying cash-generating power and operational performance of the business, giving investors a clearer, less distorted picture of operational health.
Makes sense. They're also heavily focused on expanding their horizons, particularly in emerging markets, and through continuous innovation.
Yes, Sika continues to invest significantly in expanding its global footprint, strategically targeting high-growth markets. They've recently commissioned new plants in dynamic economies like Peru and China.
Building where the growth is.
Exactly. And completed a major factory expansion in Indonesia, signaling their commitment to these regions. This proactive investment strategy is clearly paying dividends, with strong growth reported in the Middle East, Africa, and Southeast Asia, effectively helping to offset any weakness experienced in more mature, cyclical markets.
Balancing out the portfolio.
It's about hedging their bets and securing future growth avenues.
And on the innovation front, they're not just churning out new products, they're strategically aligning new product development with powerful secular megatrends, particularly sustainability and digitalization.
Tying R&D to the big picture.
This ensures their R&D efforts are focused on areas with maximum future impact and demand.
That's right. Their innovation pipeline is meticulously focused on high-growth, high-impact areas. For instance, they're developing cutting-edge solutions for e-mobility.
Electric vehicles.
Yeah, things like advanced thermal management materials and lightweight structural adhesives for electric vehicle batteries, which are critical for performance and safety.
Big market potential there.
Huge. They're also pioneering technologies for the circular economy, exemplified by their revolutionary Recio-Tuver concrete recycling process, which aims to reduce the massive environmental footprint of concrete production.
Actually, recycling concrete, that's impressive.
It is. And of course, they're continuously innovating products that dramatically enhance building energy efficiency, a crucial factor in meeting global climate goals.
So, hitting all the key future trends.
Pretty much. This shows Sika isn't just reacting to market shifts, it's proactively shaping its future by aligning its product portfolio with the biggest global challenges and opportunities, ensuring it remains relevant, indispensable, and able to command premium value far into the future.
Beyond driving new growth, they're also deeply committed to operational efficiency, doing more with less, which is vital for maintaining those healthy margins we discussed earlier.
Absolutely. These operational efficiency programs are being pursued rigorously across their entire global operations. They're targeting optimization across the board from production processes and logistics networks to procurement strategies and even the precise formulations of their products.
Looking for savings everywhere.
And efficiencies. The goals are multifaceted: to enhance overall productivity, to relentlessly reduce costs, and crucially, to simultaneously lower the company's environmental footprint by reducing energy consumption and CO2 emissions. It's a holistic approach to continuous improvement that integrates financial performance with environmental responsibility.
Now let's turn our attention to the leadership steering this ship. Sika's management team has consistently demonstrated a clear strategic vision and an incredibly disciplined approach to capital allocation, which has been instrumental in the company's long-term value creation.
Yeah, how they use their money is key. Their effectiveness is most evident in their M&A strategy.
We keep coming back to that.
Because it's so central, Sika has built an enviable track record of successful acquisitions and, crucially, integrations, a point strongly validated by the upgraded MBCC synergy targets we just discussed.
They deliver on the M&A promises.
They've proven they can not only identify and acquire valuable companies, but also systematically extract and create value from them post-acquisition. Furthermore, their debt management is a model of discipline. They consistently utilize their robust operating free cash flow to systematically reduce debt following large transactions, preventing over-leveraging and maintaining a healthy balance sheet.
Using cash flow wisely. And consistent, high-impact R&D investment is clearly a significant priority for them, not just a line item on a budget.
Absolutely. Their consistent and substantial investment in innovation has been a cornerstone, building a formidable patent portfolio and a continuous pipeline of new high-performance products.
Feeding that technological edge.
Exactly. This directly supports their technological leadership and premium market positioning, ultimately generating incredibly high returns on these internal investments. It's smart capital allocation that doesn't just chase short-term gains, but actively fuels their long-term competitive advantage.
And it's fascinating to see how management compensation at Sika is structured to align directly with these long-term goals and strategic imperatives. It's not just about hitting a quarterly number.
Indeed. Management compensation at Sika is meticulously designed to align the interests of executives with those of long-term shareholders.
How do they do that?
It uses a balanced mix of fixed salary and performance-based variable incentives, including both short-term incentive, STI, and long-term incentive, LTI plans. The long-term incentive component in particular, which makes up the largest portion of the CEO's target pay, is especially insightful.
The LTI.
Yeah.
What's that based on?
It's 80% based on relative financial metrics. Return on capital employed, ROCE, and total shareholder return, TSR, measured directly against a carefully selected peer group.
Ah, so they have to beat their competitors, not just hit an internal target.
Exactly. This sophisticated design means executives are rewarded for not just growing the company, but for outperforming their direct competitors, fostering a culture of excellence.
And importantly, there's a strong ESG component, which is becoming increasingly vital for long-term value creation and attracting responsible investors.
Yes, the remaining 20% of the LTI is explicitly tied to specific, measurable ESG targets.
Like what?
These include ambitious reductions in greenhouse gas, GHG emissions, water discharge, and waste generated.
So real environmental targets.
Real measurable targets. This sophisticated structure creates a powerful and direct incentive for executives to deliver on both financial outperformance and critical sustainability goals, which are increasingly seen as the twin pillars of Sika's long-term value proposition. It's a very modern, forward-thinking approach to executive incentives that clearly demonstrates their seriousness about both profit and planet.
Beyond incentives, strong corporate governance is essential for investor confidence and ethical operations.
Sika rigorously adheres to the comprehensive guidelines of the SIX Swiss Exchange, which are quite robust. Their board of directors boasts diverse international and industrial experience, bringing a wealth of perspectives.
Good mix on the board.
Yeah. Key committees, such as the Nomination and Compensation Committee, are composed of board members elected directly by shareholders, ensuring a strong degree of independence and accountability to those who own the company.
Shareholders have a direct say.
They do. Moreover, management's communication with the market is consistently transparent and clear, providing regular updates and reliable guidance on strategic execution and financial performance, fostering trust and predictability.
Even for a company as robust and strategically sound as Sika, the past couple of years have presented a veritable gauntlet of macroeconomic headwinds.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been smooth sailing for anyone.
It's important for us to understand how they've navigated these choppy waters because it truly highlights their operational resilience.
Indeed. Raw material cost inflation has been a substantial and persistent challenge. Raw materials, with a significant 60-70% derived from crude oil, represent approximately 45% of Sika's total sales.
Almost half their sales are raw material costs. That's huge exposure.
It is. That's a massive exposure. However, they've managed this incredibly effectively through a combination of timely price increases, continuous product formulation efficiencies to reduce material intensity, and stringent cost control across their operations.
Pulling multiple levers.
Exactly. This proactive management successfully allowed them to expand their material margin from 53.6% in 2023 to 54.5% in 2024.
Again, expanding margins in that environment is impressive.
This ability to not just protect, but even grow margins during periods of significant inflation is a powerful testament to their operational strength and pricing power.
Global supply chain disruptions and escalating geopolitical tensions have also been a major concern for many companies worldwide, creating unforeseen challenges.
Huge headaches for global companies.
How does Sika cope?
Here again, Sika's highly decentralized local-for-local manufacturing strategy has been a key mitigant. By having production facilities close to their markets, they significantly reduce their dependence on long, complex international supply chains.
But that local production paid off.
It inherently insulates them from many of the trade frictions, the escalating shipping costs, and the logistical bottlenecks that have plagued more centralized competitors. It's a strategic advantage that paid off handsomely during a turbulent period.
And rising interest rates have certainly had a cooling effect on many sectors globally, particularly real estate.
They absolutely had a direct negative impact on construction activity, especially the residential sector, which is highly sensitive to borrowing
We
costs.
saw that in the European numbers.
Yeah. In Europe, for instance, the construction equipment market declined by a notable 19% in 2024, and new house building saw that sharp 7.7% decline we discussed earlier.
So how did Sika manage that direct hit?
However, Sika's large exposure to the more resilient refurbishment market and publicly funded infrastructure projects effectively cushioned this impact, showcasing the clear benefits of that diversified portfolio and inherent stability we explored earlier.
That refurbishment buffer again.
It proves that their strategic choices directly contribute to their resilience.
But not all markets have been equally strong for them, right? The economic picture in certain key regions has presented its own set of unique challenges.
Correct. Economic slowdowns in key markets have also been a headwind. The Chinese construction market, in particular, remained markedly negative due to its ongoing property sector crisis.
The problems in China's property market.
Right. Which has been a structural rather than purely cyclical issue for some time now. This led to a 1.7% sales decline in local currencies in the Asia-Pacific region in the first half of 2025.
So Asia-Pacific was down slightly.
Yeah. This is a significant structural headwind for Sika in Asia, and future performance in that region will depend heavily on the strength of other rapidly growing markets like India and Southeast Asia to offset China's drag. It's a dynamic they're actively managing.
And as a Swiss franc reporting entity, they've also had to contend with the impact of a strong domestic currency on their reported results.
Ah, the strong Swiss franc. Always a factor for Swiss companies.
How much did that hurt their reported numbers?
A strong Swiss franc consistently creates significant negative currency translation effects, which can mask underlying operational growth. In 2024, for example, it reduced their reported sales growth by 2.7 percentage points,
making growth look lower than it was in local terms.
Exactly. And an even more pronounced negative 4.3% negative impact in the first half of 2025.
Ouch. How do they mitigate that?
This impact is mitigated through what's called natural hedging, meaning they naturally offset currency risk by operating and transacting significantly in the same local currencies where they generate revenue and incur costs, as well as through corporate-level hedging programs.
They'll smooth it out.
Yep. These pervasive challenges highlight that even market leaders like Sika operate in an incredibly dynamic and often turbulent environment. Sika's demonstrated ability to not just survive, but actively thrive and expand its margins amid these headwinds speaks volumes about its operational dexterity and strategic resilience.
Let's put on our investor's hat now and talk about valuation, which is always a key consideration. As of late 2024, Sika's enterprise value to EBITDA, or EBITDA, multiple stood at 18.5x.
18.5 times EBITDA? How does that compare historically?
Well, this is an interesting number because it represents a significant shift for Sika. It was, in fact, a five-year low for the company.
A five-year low. Wow.
To use some context, its multiple peaked at an eye-watering 34.6x in 2021.
Double where it is now, almost.
And traded as high as 29.7x in 2023. The substantial multiple compression reflects a broader market derating of growth stocks, particularly amid higher global interest rates, which make future earnings less valuable today.
Discount rates went up.
Right. And the cyclical slowdowns we've observed in Sika's key end markets. Other current valuation multiples include a price-to-earnings P.E. ratio of 24.9x and a price-to-book P.B. ratio of 5.1x.
Still not exactly cheap on an absolute basis, but definitely cheaper than it was.
Exactly. These numbers alone paint a picture of a company still commanding a premium, but one that has been significantly re-rated by the market. So it's come down quite a bit from its peak, but how does it truly stack up against its closest peers? Sika has a bit of a hybrid identity, sitting uniquely between the specialty chemicals and heavy construction materials sectors.
That dual identity is absolutely crucial for a meaningful comparison. When you look at pure-play construction materials companies like Holcim AG, they typically trade at much lower multiples, for instance, around 9.7x EBITDA.
So almost half of Sika's multiple.
Yeah. These businesses are often perceived as more cyclical, more commoditized, and therefore less differentiated. Then you have specialty chemical peers, such as PPG Industries, which tend to trade around 12.0x EBITDA.
Still well below Sika.
Right. Even the average for specialty chemicals M&A transactions is typically in the 10-14x range. The analysis clearly shows that Sika, despite its recent multiple compression, continues to trade at a significant premium to its peers in both categories.
That's a really notable premium. So, what justifies that persistent market premium for Sika? What is the market seeing that warrants this higher valuation?
This persistent premium is supported by several compelling factors. First, Sika consistently delivers superior financial metrics compared to its peers.
Better growth, better margins.
Exactly. We're talking about higher top-line growth, stronger and remarkably more stable margins. Remember, their EBITDA margin hitting 19.3% in 2024, which is excellent and consistently more robust cash flow conversion.
The quality of the business shines through.
It does. Secondly, the market appears to be intelligently pricing in Sika's proven ability to gain market share, their disciplined and successful execution of an acquisition-led M&A strategy, and their relentless innovation pipeline, which allows them to maintain a formidable technological edge.
They execute well.
They aren't just selling products, they're solving complex problems for their customers. The recent decline in its valuation multiple suggests the market has priced in some cyclical headwinds and the higher cost of capital.
So some bad news is already in the price.
Arguably, yes. The key investment question for you, the informed learner, is whether Sika's operational execution, their ability to continue gaining market share, and the accelerated realization of synergies from the MDCC acquisition will allow it to grow into its still premium valuation, thereby justifying its standing relative to its peers and rewarding long-term shareholders.
Can they deliver the growth to justify the price?
That's the multi-billion franc question. It's a dynamic story of growth meeting valuation realities.
As with any company, no matter how strong, Sika faces a range of inherent risks. It's important for us to understand these challenges to truly appreciate their resilience and the effectiveness of their mitigation strategies. Let's start with the market and economic risks.
Okay. The most prominent market risk for Sika remains the cyclicality of the construction market. That's always going to be there.
Can't escape the cycle entirely.
No. However, as we've thoroughly discussed, this risk is significantly mitigated by several factors. Its large, more stable refurbishment business.
That 55% buffer.
Right. Its growing presence in publicly funded infrastructure projects, which tend to be less cyclical, and its broad geographic diversification, which helps balance regional downturns.
Spreading the risk.
Exactly. Raw material cost volatility is another major source of margin risk, given their dependency on crude oil derivatives. But as we've seen, Sika has a well-practiced playbook for this, mitigating it through active price and margin management, strategic dual sourcing of materials, continuous product reformulation for efficiency, and globally coordinated procurement strategies.
They manage it actively.
They're not just reacting, they're proactively managing these costs.
Then there are the operational and strategic risks, particularly with a company that relies so heavily on acquisitions for growth.
Yes. Failure to successfully integrate acquired companies, especially monumental ones like MBCC, is always a significant risk in M&A. Integration is hard.
You hear stories about failed integrations all the time.
You do. However, Sika's extensive experience and its proven systematic integration process are key mitigations. They have a playbook, a culture, and a track record of making these integrations work.
They're good at it.
There seem to be. Competitive threats are always present. Market share could erode if Sika were to fail to innovate or maintain its technological lead. This is why their continuous heavy investment in R&D, their powerful brand, and their unique system selling approach are so absolutely vital to maintaining their competitive edge and customer loyalty.
Constantly defending the moat.
Always.
And there's a fascinating, rather qualitative risk identified by management themselves, the potential dilution or loss of their unique corporate culture,
Whoa.
What they refer to as the Sika spirit.
The Sika spirit. It sounds a bit intangible, but it's important.
Why is it so critical?
This qualitative risk is surprisingly critical because the Sika spirit, characterized by its entrepreneurial drive, customer proximity, and technical excellence, is considered a key ingredient in its operational excellence and its successful integration model for acquisitions.
So the culture helps make the acquisitions work.
That's the idea. Rapid growth, particularly through numerous acquisitions, can strain and dilute this culture. Mitigation involves global initiatives specifically designed to embed corporate values, extensive leadership training programs, and careful integration processes that are inclusive of new employees, ensuring they absorb and contribute to this unique culture.
Protecting the secret sauce.
You could say that. It demonstrates a deep understanding from management that culture is as important as capital in driving long-term success.
Finally, let's touch upon the financial and regulatory risks they face.
Okay. As a Swiss franc reporting entity, Sika is inherently exposed to significant currency translation risk from a strengthening CHF.
That's strong franc again.
Right. It can negatively impact reported revenues and profits from abroad. This is mitigated through that natural hedging we discussed by having substantial local production and financing in various currencies, as well as through corporate-level hedging programs designed to smooth out currency volatility.
And managing the currency swings.
They are also subject to a complex and ever-evolving global regulatory landscape, covering everything from product standards and environmental regulations to competition laws.
Lots of rules to follow.
A global minefield sometimes. This is mitigated through dedicated compliance functions, close monitoring of regulatory changes, and proactive R&D investment to ensure their products not only meet but often exceed future standards, ensuring they remain ahead of the curve and in good standing across all their operating regions. #outro.
And there you have it. We've taken a comprehensive deep dive into Sika AG, revealing a global leader in specialty chemicals that, while often operating behind the scenes, is absolutely integral to the construction and automotive industries worldwide.
It's truly a hidden champion shaping our modern world. A great case study.
We've seen how its highly decentralized local-for-local model provides strategic insulation, how its innovation-driven system-selling approach creates deep customer loyalty.
Those powerful moats we discussed.
Exactly. And how its disciplined M&A strategy has fueled consistent growth and resilience, even amidst significant macroeconomic headwinds like raw material inflation and rising interest rates.
They've navigated it all remarkably well.
So what does this all mean for you, the informed learner? As the world grapples with massive interconnected challenges like rapid urbanization, the urgent need for robust climate change adaptation, and the imperative for more sustainable infrastructure.
Huge global challenges.
Sika's dual focus on maintaining our existing world through essential refurbishment and building a better, more resilient one through green innovation positions it at a crucial intersection of global progress.
Right at the center of solving some big problems.
What other invisible industries or companies operating just beyond our immediate notice might be similarly shaping the future around us, one essential component at a time?
Makes you think.
Perhaps it's time to start looking closer at the hidden champions in your daily life, because their impact is far greater than you might realize.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've gained a clearer, more nuanced understanding of Sika AG and the critical, often unseen role it plays in our modern world.
And maybe spark some curiosity?
And perhaps even start a new curiosity about the invisible backbone of industry.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.